Anyway, that was the plan, was to play a tune for you and show you the difference between harmony and disharmony. Okay, but I think you understand, you get the visual picture there. God has blessed us with an ability to understand harmony in music. And harmony, when it's done right, brings great joy to us. We hear all those notes and they all harmonize together. And it's just so good. And He's designed us that way. And harmony brings a pleasingness, a pleasant thing to our ears. The term harmony, if you look in the dictionary, it comes from the Greek word harmonia. And harmonia basically means a joint agreement, a concord. And it comes from another verb, which I won't pronounce for you, but it means to fit together or to join. And to join in a harmonious arrangement. In the same way, joyfulness in life requires harmony. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is this harmony that we need to experience true joy. You see, when we lack joy, the missing ingredient, in my opinion, is harmony, but it's the right kind of harmony. You can find people who seem to have everything in life. They have every blessing. You look at all the material stuff they have and you say, they ought to have it. Very often when we look at them, they don't have joy. And things will come up and they fret over their money, they fret over this, they fret over the stuff they have, and they don't have the joy. On the other hand, you can find some people who lack the things that you would expect to bring great happiness in this life, and they have great joy, and they express it. And the difference, I believe, is the harmony that they have in their life. So we're going to take a look at chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, and I'm going to go through this a bit at a time with you rather than reading straight through it. But we'll go through the entire chapter because, you see, we see in Jonah a certain disharmony that has stolen his joy. And this disharmony steals the joy out of us. And he had a disharmony, and I'm going to kind of let it out right off the bat, with God and what God wanted for him. See, God called Jonah, this is a review, to go to Nineveh and preach against the city. But Jonah rebelled against God, and he goes on a downward spiral. We talked about that in week one. And Jonah seems to repent from this rebellion in the belly of a great fish. And the Lord gives him a second chance, and he takes the second chance, and he does what the Lord asked him to do. He goes to Nineveh, and we see that the entire city, because of this message, repented. And God then relents on bringing the disaster upon them. But that's where we pick the story up in chapter 4, verse 1. And here's what it says. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. The first point I'm bringing out of this passage is joyous, and there's only two points. Joylessness is born in the disharmonious and proud heart. And that's what we see here in Jonah. He was dissatisfied with the will of God. And we see the Ninevites and their repentance, and he becomes extremely angry. The phrase, in this phrase, displeased, it's a idiomatic. It was evil to Jonah, great evil. It was an intensity of displeasure that he had. I mean, a serious displeasure. And then when it says, and he was angry, the word means to burn, to kindle. He was angry, he was steaming, burning hot, mad about what God had done. It's amazing when you think of a prophet that would be like this, but it's exactly what happened according to the Word of God. Now, the disharmonious heart is generally an issue of spiritual pride and judgmentalism. We see this in the basic demonstration of legalism. The Pharisees, if you think about it, of Jesus' day, people under them that followed their tradition had no real joy in their lives because they were in an endless pursuit of justification before God by works, and there was no way they could experience joy. But I'm not sure the Pharisees really had joy if you look at the story of their lives. Here comes the incarnate God on the scene, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and there was no joy in their hearts about that. They were worried that they're going to lose their power, they're going to lose the prestige, that somehow Jesus is going to take over the whole nation. That's a problem. And I don't know if anybody saw the movie Jesus Revolution. Did anybody see that movie? That was an awesome movie, wasn't it? And the story is about a man named Chuck Smith who pastored Calvary Chapel Church. And it was in a church that was pretty much just staying the way it was. It was pretty level and not moving forward. And all of a sudden, there was a movement there. And this was in the 1970s. It was the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus Movement. And some hippies started coming into his church. Now, the hippies came in barefoot. That put a lot of people off. And they had long hair, and they wore kind of shabby-looking clothes, especially when you see people in suits and ties, and they were coming into church. The problem was, when they got into the church, that there was, and not only did they look different, but their style of worship was different, their music was different. So he had the hippies start leading worship in this church, and man, did that raise some eyebrows, you know? And people decided they needed out of there, some of them did, and they were bitter, became indignant, and left the church. And it's really an example in the modern context of how this spiritual pride can get in the way when we consider the stuff, the things that we're doing, the traditions, more important than the people we're trying to reach. And that is a huge problem. And that's what Jonah's problem was, wasn't it? That's exactly what his problem was. He was more interested in what he wanted than reaching these people who were lost, and he knew that God, if he took that message, that they would relent. So a disharmonious part is proud and steeped in hypocrisy, and Jonah could not see the Assyrians as receiving mercy. And often we find that those who have received mercy, sometimes down the road, come to a point where they can't see extending mercy to other kinds of people. I was in a church once where a young man was in a community in the city, and I was doing an interim pastor there. I talked to this young man. He had like 60 kids from the community in his church building on Wednesday nights. And they had a meeting with the board of elders, and the elders said, quoting him, the elders told him that they did not want those kind of people in that church. Those people left the church, and within a year, the church shut down. God has a plan, and he's going to wake us up if we don't get on board with this plan. And the disharmonious heart is emotionally unstable. It can lead to this point. Look at what happens with Jonah. His attitude is all messed up. Verses 3 and 4, he says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Jonah comes to a point where he's so upset, so mad, so angry, his emotions are taking him further down a bad spiral. And frankly, our emotions can get the best of us if we're not careful. If we come to a point of disharmony with what God's doing, we can be there where we have a disharmony in our heart. And our emotions then can get out of control, and it can actually affect us even physiologically if we don't get the spiral going the opposite direction. So Jonah needed to have a change. That brings me to the second point, and this is the last point. Joyfulness is born in the harmonious and humble heart, rather than joylessness, which is born in the disharmonious heart and proud heart. Joyfulness is born in the harmonious and humble heart. And so, it says here in verse 5 that Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east of the city and made a booth for himself there, and he sat under it in the shade until he should see what would become of the city. And Jonah sits outside the city. He's watching. What is the Lord going to do? Maybe the Lord will still bring judgment down on the city. though I think in his heart he knew that wasn't going to happen, but still hoping that the Lord would destroy it, and still proud and still obstinate. He needed to make a reversal, a change. There was a conductor one time that got onto a train at a stop to take over the job as a conductor. He got up and he looked at everybody's tickets to verify everybody was on the right train. And he said, okay, he had made it a big announcement. Everybody needs to get off this train at the next stop. You're all going in the wrong direction. Then they went and investigated a little bit. And what it was is the conductor got on the wrong train. And here we find that Jonah was on the wrong train. You get my drift. He was on the wrong train. What he needed to do was get on the right train. And that's the point. It requires a change of heart. That's repentance. That's something only the Lord can do in us. After David's sin with Bathsheba and Nathan's confrontation, remember, he wrote this Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, the Lord will work to change the proud and corrupted heart. He's going to work to change the proud heart, the disharmonious person. You see, it says that he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, James chapter 4, verse 6. And then it says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And repentance is what brings, that comes from a heart of humility, saying, God, your ways are right, mine are wrong. So what does God do to get a hold of Jonah? Well, that starts in verse 6. Let me read it to you. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered when the sun rose. And God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. Now you must understand that in Mesopotamia, where this scene was laid out, the temperature could reach 110 degrees, and the east wind could raise temperatures some 16 to 22 degrees. You can imagine it was probably a very, very uncomfortable place to be. And then God sends this plant, but then he takes the plant down with a worm, and he sends a scorching east wind. And Jonah then says, and he asked that he might die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? God appointed a plant and a worm and a wind to teach Jonah a lesson. The plant rises, and Jonah's pleased. The worm destroys the plant, a scorching wind, and Jonah is upset. And Jonah wants to die. You see, when we need a correction in our lives, the Lord will often bring a trial into our life. When we need a correction, we need to get right. And this is what we see here. And what was Jonah's really, his basic problem? His basic problem was that his own wants and desires superseded God's wants and desires. And so what I'm sharing with you is this, that he had disharmony because he was not harmonized with God and what God wanted. And if we have harmony with God and what God desires for us individually and as a congregation, that's where the joy is. But when we reject that, that's when there is no joy. And I'll share something from my own personal experience, which I hadn't planned, but, you know, why not? I was we had an entertainment center that we were putting together. One night we went over to Office Depot, I think it was, or one of those stores, and I brought it home. I had the thing laid out all over the floor, and I knew I was supposed to do a hospital visitation that night. And I'm arguing with God, don't you know I've got this thing on the floor right here, and I've got to do it. And the whole time I'm arguing with God, you know where I am? Disharmony. Finally, I surrendered and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And praise the Lord, when I did, I visited a girl, but the woman that was in the room with her, she was sleeping, the woman that was ill with cancer. But the one that was in the room with her, a friend, was just sitting there. And I walked in and I talked to her and shared the gospel with her, and she came to faith in Jesus. You know how I went home? I went home with joy in my heart. You see, when we get on board with what God wants us to do, there's joy. And so when there's disharmony in our hearts, when there's joylessness in our hearts, think about this. Am I really joined with the purposes of God? Is Jesus really the number one? We sang the song, and that joy, there's joy in our heart, there's Jesus in our heart. That was perfect, perfect. When Jesus is in our heart, there's joy. Because contemplation on him and all that he's done for us and all that we have in him is the greatest source of joy for us. And that means we join with his purposes. Rather than asking him, Lord, come down and bless what I want to do, we should be seeking it the other way around. Lord, what are you doing? And how may I join you in your great plan? And I'm going to tell you, that's where the joy is. So this morning I spoke about this heart of love, and the heart of love and the need for harmony. And let me just bring one verse to your mind again, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1. If you look at what was going on in the Corinthian church, there was disharmony there. There was dissension, there were factions, and they had their eyes on the wrong thing. And here's what he says about them, because they're in the use of tongues, their abuse of spiritual gifts. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, there's no harmony. There's no beauty in the sound anymore. But when we do what God wants us to do, when we join him, we make a beautiful harmony. And when we do that as a church together, we harmonize as a church together for his glory. God has designed us all to join him. And joining him is the key to joy and contentment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this little story that we have from Jonah that brings so much truth to our lives. We thank you that you love us and you care for us. And let's remember, oh Father, that we should always be seeking to join you in what you're doing as you bless us and encourage us in life. Because we know the joy is really in seeking your will and your righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.